Okay, well, today we're beginning a sort of a two-part theme. This service here and in a month's time with the next All Age service, when we're looking at the journey of the Israelites through the wilderness and particularly the changes that they encountered and their journey of faith, the things that they had to look to God for.
And so with that in mind, I've got some words here that Moses said to the Israelite people as he came down with the second set of tablets with the Ten Commandments on. He said, "Now, people of Israel, listen to what the Lord your God demands of you. Worship the Lord and do all that he commands. Love him, serve him with all your heart, and obey his laws. The Lord your God is supreme over all gods and over all powers. He is great and mighty, and he is to be obeyed. Have a reverence for the Lord your God and worship only him. Be faithful to him and make your promises in his name alone. Praise him. He is your God, and you have seen with your own eyes the great and astounding things that he has done for you." We're going to pick up a little bit of the story of the Israelites with Lou and Amanda.
Hello, everyone. Today, in our service, we are looking at the idea of change. And one group of people who went through a period of change are the Israelites. And now, when we read the stories in the Bible, we have the advantage that we know what happened. But the poor Israelites didn't. And so we've managed to travel back in time and get an Israelite woman. Here she is. And she's going to talk to us about some things that have happened in her life, and we are going to see if we can guess what happened next so that she won't worry.
Well, I couldn't bring much with me. Just a couple of bits and pieces from the cupboard. Oh, we set off in the middle of the night. We had a big meal, and then we were up, we were out the door. We've been slaves all this time, and suddenly we're escaping from Pharaoh. So, we marched and marched, we walked and walked, round! I wouldn't have gone that way. Don't we? But we ended up here. And look at it. Right in front of us, giant red sea. I don't know. Well, that was bad enough. I thought maybe we could get some boats, something. Then, we look behind us. It's only Pharaoh coming, isn't it? I can see big clouds of dust that's come up from the ground. He's got chariots, he's got horses, they've got swords. What's going to happen? I think we'll be back in Egypt by tea time. We'll be eating all this stuff after all. It's impossible. See you later.
Okay, so that is a worried Israelite woman. Can anyone tell me, put up your hand if you think you know, what happened next? What happened next? She was there, she was worried, it seemed like there was no way out, but God, through Moses, parted the Red Sea, and on she went. Okay, but things didn't necessarily get too much easier from there.
Well, I mean, I give you, that was good, that was great, but now, this is all I've got left. Nothing. I don't know what we're going to eat. Here we are. We cross the Red Sea. What's on the other side of it? A desert. There's no shops. There's no food. The children are crying. I'm really hungry. I don't know. I think we've come out here to the desert. We're just all going to die.
Okay, so what happened next? Does anyone know what happened next? Sam? Yes, the Israelites get hungry, and they keep on being hungry. And do they stop being hungry? Does anyone know what happens to stop them being hungry? Cameron?
Doesn't Moses hit the rock with his staff and then it gives out food and water?
Moses hits a rock with his staff and it gives them water. And then God sends manna and quail for them to eat. Okay, and manna is a kind of sort of a bit like a sweetish bread that that settled on the floor, and quail is a kind of bird. So even though the Israelites were worried, Even though they didn't know what was going to happen next, God took care of them.
I am so glad I'm not a man, because they chose 12 men to go up and see what was up in the North Country. We've been in this desert for a while now. Man and quail. Been fine, but you can get enough of a good thing, you know? So they went off to see what it was like in the North Country, and they came back with these stories. Thank goodness I didn't go. Because you know what they found? Giants. Yes, great, big, burly giants. They would rip our heads off. And not only that, they're all cities, and we're just wandering around here. I think we're stuck. Because behind us, well, there's the Red Sea. Pharaoh, can't go back there. Ahead of us, giants. Of course, a couple of them said it was a great place. They said lots of lovely food. They even brought us back some grapes. I had one. It was lovely. But I can't see how we can go on now. I think this is it this time.
Okay, does anybody know what happened next? Does anybody know what happened next? Might have to ask an adult. Hopefully at least one adult knows what happened next. Nobody knows what happened next. Jane Guest. Yes. Okay, so their shoes and their clothes didn't wear out, and they sent 12 people to check out the Promised Land to see what was there, and they came back with scared reports. Now, what happened next was the Israelites were deciding whether to go to the Promised Land, and they got scared, okay? And this time, they grumbled to Moses about God, and they said, I think it would have been better if we'd have died in Egypt. I think it would be better if we'd starved in the desert. And because of that, they did get to the Promised Land, but they had to wait 40 years. They had to wait until the next generation had grown up. And the reason that they did that is because they forgot that God had been gracious and kind to them in the past. Okay, so as we go through periods of change, it's important to remember the way that God has been faithful to us in the past.
Okay, we're going to have a short reading now from Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 31, and the first three verses, and then verses 7 and 8. And it's entitled, Joshua Becomes Moses' Successor. Moses continued speaking to the people of Israel and said, I am now 120 years old, and I'm no longer able to be your leader. And besides this, the Lord has told me that I will not cross the Jordan. The Lord your God himself will go before you and destroy the nations living there, so that you can occupy their land. And Joshua will be your leader, as the Lord has said. And then down to verse 7. Then Moses called Joshua and said to him in the presence of all the people of Israel, be determined and confident. You are the one who will lead these people to occupy the land that the Lord has promised to their ancestors. The Lord himself will lead you and be with you. He will not fail you or abandon you. So do not lose courage or be afraid. John.
Well, good morning. You're in for a treat this morning, because I have found a small part of the Blake family archive that I'm going to show you. Technology willing. But before you all let out a big sigh and start yawning, I want you to know that by showing you this extract, I am being very brave. And in a moment, you will find out why.
Playing with the right music, bedding in the swing, doing the blue fried dance. Oh, oh, oh. Da 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 da. And the night is high.
Okay, on that moment, I think we'll pause. Yes. I spared you Waterloo. That was a bit more vigorous. Well, surprisingly, I actually like looking back at old videos, even though they can be highly embarrassing, as you've just seen. Because it's so interesting to see how things have changed over the years. Of course, some things don't change at all. Like me, for instance. I'm still as youthful and good-looking as I was 21 years ago, or 20 years ago, when those notorious films were taken. And I can assure you as well that my musical tastes are just as refined and sophisticated as they were all those years ago. But look at Poppy and Tom. See how much they have changed. Here they are now, or now-ish, coming up for 21 years old. In back 20 years ago, they had to have everything done for them. They even needed help in choosing good music to listen to. But now they're independent, self-reliant. They can do pretty much everything for themselves. And I think I can even say, and it used to worry me, that I don't think I damaged them too much by bopping their little brains around with such energy at such a young age. So on the whole, I'm glad they've changed. Now, of course, babies and children are lovely. You only have to look at the cheeky, chirpy cherubs sitting here this morning in the front row with their beautiful brigade uniforms. Oh, don't you just want to eat them? Is that what you say? It reminds you just how lovely children can be. But overall, I'm glad that my children have grown up and changed. I'm particularly glad that I don't have to feed them and change their nappies anymore. And I expect they are too. But I wonder how, if I was here and my two sleeping babes from 21 years ago, I wonder how they would have felt if I had somehow been able to explain to them at that age how much, just how much was going to change for them over the next 20 years. If I'd somehow been able to get them to think about it, I wonder how they would have felt. Now, maybe someone... let me explain a little bit more. Just imagine that I could have said to them that one day, in fact, only about a year after that, they were going to learn to walk. And, of course, when you learn to walk, you also fall over quite a lot. And they were going to learn to talk. And then about... perhaps about 3 years after that, we were going to take them round the corner to the Broomfield Community Centre and leave them with people they didn't know for a whole 3 hours in a registered playgroup, I should add, just in case there's any social workers here. And then a couple of years after that, we were going to take them and leave them, not just for 3 hours, but for a whole day with a weird group of people called teachers. And there'd be lots and lots of bigger children who'd be quite scary. And then a few years after that, an even bigger and more scary place called secondary school, where they'd have to cope not just with one teacher, but with lots of different teachers and even more children. And they'd have to learn things and take exams. So can anyone whose age is a bit closer to them think how they might have felt if they had somehow been able to understand all that? Can you imagine, perhaps? It's very hard to imagine because, of course, they couldn't. But how do you think they might have felt if they had been able to see all those changes that were coming up? Normally, we can't see, but...
a bit scared.
A bit scared, absolutely. I think they would have been. And, in fact, I think they might have thought, OK, we'll pass on all those changes. We'll just stay here as we are. Thank you very much. The fact is that most of us don't particularly like change. It doesn't matter how young we are or how old we are, we all prefer to stick with what we know best. Sometimes, of course, we know that a change is going to be a good thing. For instance, when we changed our clapped-out, always-breaking-down old car for a nice new shiny one, I couldn't wait for that change to come quick enough, partly because if it didn't, I knew that the gearbox was going to finally fall out altogether. So that was a good change. And then, of course, there are changes that we know are going to be bad. For instance, just imagine you've got the best teacher in the school this year, but you know that next year you've got the worst one. That's bound to be a bad change. I can still remember in primary school sitting in Miss Thronson, nice Miss Thronson's class, and hearing upstairs Miss Aist shouting at the children. Fortunately, she left before I got there. But on the whole, probably most changes, we don't know if they're going to be good or bad. They just happen. And what's scary and unsettling is that we just don't know how it's going to be. We almost prefer not to have any changes, even the good ones, because then at least we'd know what life was going to be like. But when things change, there's usually uncertainty and not quite knowing, and that can be scary. Now, it's exactly like that for the people of Israel in the stories that we've heard and had acted so beautifully from the Bible. The people of Israel were on a journey, and the passage that Chris read to us was right at the end of the journey when they got to that place almost in the top right-hand corner called Mount Nebo. I don't know if I pronounced that right. That's where the story ended and where we had our reading. Because Moses had been leading the people of Israel for 40 years, and God had used him to carry out his plan for the people of Israel. The plan was to rescue the people from Egypt, over on the left there. And when they'd been in Egypt, the king of Egypt, nasty piece of work, had made them slaves. And he'd used them to make bricks for his great big temples and palaces and pyramids and other buildings, which you can still see today. But not only were they slaves, they were treated very badly. So God wanted to rescue his people. He wanted to take them out of Egypt over on the left and take them over to the right, where it says Israel, the country that today we would call Israel or Palestine. They called it the Promised Land because God had promised many, many years before to give it to the people of Israel. And it was a good land. It flowed with milk and honey and other juicy things. Now, the journey looks very simple on the map. Surely, to get from the left over to the right, you would go in a straight line. And it's actually only about 240 miles. That's about, well, it's about from here to York, maybe, not even as far as Scotland. But far from it, it wasn't a simple journey, because God had to teach them loads and loads of stuff before they could live happily in the Promised Land. And that's why it took 40 years wandering around in the desert, as we saw in those little sketches. In fact, they only did an average of 6 miles a year, if you divide 240 by 40, I think. And not only that, they had to wander around. You can maybe see, it says there's two places where it says the wilderness of Sin, the wilderness of Paran. And all that area that they had to go through was desert and wilderness, where nothing grew and where life was really tough. We saw some of the difficult things that happened to them on the way, some of the scary changes that they had to cope with. Can anyone remember? There were three scary things in particular. Can anyone remember any of the things that Amanda was acting out, before it was she, was acting out so beautifully? Any of the incidents. Two of them are quite famous ones, and I think someone did actually say what they were. So can anyone remember? The parting of the sea, that's right. Okay, so they were trying to get away from the king of Egypt with all his chariots, and they thought they were going to die, but God parted the sea. Okay, another one? Yes.
When Moses turns the rock into food and water.
That's right, when Moses turned the rock into food and water, that's right. The food actually came down from, it appeared each morning like dew, but it was food. It was a sort of crusty bread, sweet bread, which you could eat. And the other bit of food actually came, it wasn't from the rock, but there was some food called quails, which is quite a delicacy now. Where did quails come from? Yes, you look like you know the answer.
No idea, actually, but I think probably quails come from the air.
Yes, they come from the sky. That was what I wasn't looking for any kind of biological explanation. Just from the sky is good enough for me. So that got them out of that problem because they didn't have any food. And then the last one, which was the more tricky one, was where they got close to the promised land and they sent in spies to see what the promised land was like. And the answer came back that it was really scary. There were all these giants, there were cities. So how on earth were they going to cope? Now, what did the... I don't know if anyone picked this up, but what did the people say every time they had a problem, whether it was getting to the Red Sea and finding they couldn't get across, or whether it was getting into the wilderness and not having any food, or whether it was getting to the promised land and finding it was full of big, scary giants? What was the people's reaction? What did they think? Did anyone spot what they said? Ah, dear me, you're all a bit dopey this morning, aren't you? Oh, we have one, we have someone. Oh, there, oh, right, sorry, I'm dopey, I can't see. How could I not see you, Sophie?
We should have stayed in Egypt.
Right, we should have stayed in Egypt. And that's really weird when you think about it, because in Egypt, they'd been slaves. They'd been treated really badly. Why on earth would anyone want to go back to being a slave? Why would anyone want to go back to Egypt? But they got really cross with Moses. They didn't just mutter and moan. They got really angry with him and said, look, you brought us out here to die. You could have left us in Egypt. Weren't there any graves there? There were certainly nice things to eat. Melons and cucumbers and all that type of stuff. So I always find that surprising that they would rather have been slaves. But I guess, again, it's partly because people don't like change. At least in Egypt, they knew what life was like. Whereas out in the wilderness, they had to trust God. They had to depend on God. And they found that really hard. They could see all the changes. They could see all the problems. They couldn't see how they were going to overcome them. They couldn't see that God was leading them on a journey to a better place. And it must have seemed rather like in this cartoon that they were actually just going round and round in circles rather than on a journey. Okay, so what do we actually learn from these stories? What can we learn about coping with change today? Well, the first thing I think we learn is that things will change. It would be nice, in a way, if God stopped changes happening to us, particularly the bad ones. But unfortunately, it's not like that. God doesn't stop changes from happening, even if they're difficult or scary. He doesn't keep us all nice and cozy, as we would often like my two babes in the bed there. So things do change, but secondly, we learn that God will be with us when things change. As Joshua faced the next scary stage of the journey into the promised land, Moses promised him this. The Lord himself will lead you and be with you. He will not fail you or abandon you. And that promise, I believe, is just as true for us today. However scary a change we might face, however much we would like things to stay the same, God will always be with us and will never let go of us. So, thirdly, do not lose courage or be afraid. That's what Moses told Joshua. And that may seem really difficult, impossible maybe, because we can't help feeling nervous or afraid when we face a big change. But we don't actually need to. We don't need to complain like the people of Israel did at Moses. We don't need to sit in a corner and mutter about how much the good days were so much better. Because God is with us in the future, just as he has been with us in the past. And then finally, we learn that God never changes. We read these wonderful words in the New Testament that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So even if everything around us seems to be changing, even if everyone around us seems to be changing, even if we're changing, because unfortunately, we do. It's good to remember that God never changes. His love and his power never grow weak. Like a big rock in the middle of one of those floods that we've seen so much on the telly recently, we can stand on the rock of God, the unchanging one, and have complete confidence that he will always love us and he will always be with us. But you may say, I've got a really big change facing me right at the moment, and I don't know how I'm going to cope. Well, if that's you, then you may like to chat with someone in the area under the cross after the service so that you can talk about it and pray with them about it. Because God doesn't want us to be afraid, even when we're faced by the scariest of changes. I believe that he would reassure us today with exactly the same words that he said through Moses to Joshua all those years ago. I myself will lead you and be with you. I will not fail you or abandon you. So do not lose courage or be afraid. Let's pray. Lord, you know that we're human. We don't like the things that we've got used to change, especially when we don't know where it's all going to lead. Thank you, Lord, that you have promised to lead us when things change. So help us to put our hand in yours, to trust you, and not to be afraid. Thank you that you never change, and your love for each one of us will never run out. Amen.